of living my prayer for truth. I call it my prayer, it is simple and clear. It wants me to give and receive love. I call in the light to make everything right and show me the way to just be love. And show me the way to just be love.
Hello and welcome to Rewire Your Attachment Style. This is Maya Diamond and I'm so excited to be joined today by Misha Mikhailian. He's a husband, father, serial entrepreneur, and has a deep passion for contributing to the evolution of human consciousness. He has started and led and is currently leading an intentional community, and he is married to an amazing woman who's the reason that we're doing this interview today, because I put out a Facebook post asking who's the most secure person you know, and his amazing wife, Christina, responded raving about her husband. So I knew I had to interview him, and I've seen the two of you throughout the years at parties in our community at Burning Man, and always felt so much love and joy between the two of you. It was so, so palpable. So without further ado, let's dive in. So yeah, would love to start with, like, what do you love about your marriage? What do you love about your relationship?
Well, first of all, I'm super excited to be here, Maya. I've never like talked about my relationship before on a podcast. So it's like, I'm excited to share because I really love my relationship. And, Christina and I, we just celebrated our 7-year anniversary.
And congratulations.
Thanks. The things that I love most about our relationship is just how well we complement each other. We're very different people. I find like either relationships work well where people are like so similar that they just like click on everything, and then or they're so different that they like complement each other in certain ways where it's like we actually share close to completely identical values. The way we operate and move around the world and create in the world is very different. Like we have very different styles, and that actually it feels like we just like complement each other so well, you know?
Yeah.
But we have the same values, and we're just really passionate people that really care about other people, and we're both very giving. So we're always like giving to each other and like supporting each other. So yeah, it's beautiful. It's like, I love those differences in the way we complement. And I also love the foundation of the values that have really like supported us.
Beautiful. And when you think about empathy, emotional responsiveness, healthy communication, these kind of fundamental skills for healthy, loving partnership, I'm wondering, like, where did you learn those skills? Was it childhood? Was it like workshops? Like, was it therapy? Like, did you always have those skills?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't always have those skills, but I've built those skills over a lifetime. And which, you know, it's like, I'm like middle aged now. I'm like, I still feel like a teenager, but
yeah,
I'm like decades really honing in some of these skills. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, I was kind of forced to learn communication and collaboration skills pretty early in my career. Cause I started my first company as a teenager, and, you know, just to be successful. And as an entrepreneur, you need to learn how to communicate well. But I think the skills really got amplified when I went on my own personal development journey, which now I can call my personal development journey, my spiritual awakening journey, but they kind of went hand in hand.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of work I did during that time, like different organizations and coaches that have had a huge impact on me. But specifically to communication, I think the two biggest things that had an impact on me there was, one was when I did Landmark. Like, there was a personal development course that like fully opened up my world as to, you know, all the different stories I was creating that was impacting my communication and what was like me and somebody else, and really enabled me to learn how to own what all my own stuff was.
Nice.
That I was kind of like, and to really see the lenses I was looking through everything by. And after I did that course, I got to a place where I felt like I could look at every piece of communication through not only my lens, but the lens of the person I was communicating with. Mm-hmm. So it created this like insane degree of empathy and understanding where like I wasn't really judging anyone anymore because I was like, oh, I can see why they're, and I was asking questions to get into their world. And like, and I was always balancing that, like, this is how I see things and this is how someone else sees things. And I feel like it just gave me an understanding that like, we actually all see things through very different lenses in the world. And so that was the first big one.
That's huge. I love that. I love the way that you describe that so well, because that's such an important thing, which is putting yourself into someone else's shoes, and that creates that powerful empathy. And so to be able to say like, oh, this is my lens, this is their lens, okay, how can I like really get their lens? Yeah.
So that was a big one. And then and then the spiritual work I did after that, whether it's like just meditation, different healing work, like it was basically like layer after layer of like really like healing the trauma of my life and, and getting to a point, like I got to a point where I actually didn't get triggered by anything for like several years.
Wow.
And then I actually met my wife. So like, I knew my wife, but I actually got into like what was the most deepest dharmic like relationship that I've ever been called into. And for the first time in a long time, I actually found myself like really triggered and really confronted. But having been at that place prior to the relationship had me get that that was all my own stuff. It just took really aligning with like my queen to like start bringing that up, you know?
Wow.
And I mean, I was trying to put myself in situations before that that would like get me triggered, you know, like I was like doing the polyamory thing for a while and like just like doing things where I'm like, I'm trying to like, you know, like, like find something to work on here.
Wow. Amazing. But
diving in that relationship. And then to kind of close off the answer to this, as we went down that path, there was another tool that came up, which was Imago communication. And I'm not sure if you've heard of that.
Yep.
That has been the best tool that my wife and I have used to see each other and feel each other in times of conflict, where in the beginning of a relationship, there was a lot of conflict and there was a lot of challenges and there was a lot of healing. And that was like essential. And then we eventually got to a place where like, instead of doing Imago like every month or a couple times a month, like multiple times a month, like now it's like maybe like every other year, like we'll get into a conflict where we need to use this tool. Yeah. But it really supported us in building that communication foundation for our relationship. And it's, you know, for people who haven't heard of Imago, it's basically a tool that forces you to slow conversations way, way, way down. And like one person has the space to fully be heard and listened and seen and everything they want to share. And everything's reflected back to them. So it's like a normal conversation. You go back and forth many times in a half an hour. With Imago, it's like one person takes the stage for 20 minutes and someone takes the stage for 20 minutes. Timed, but it's basically until they feel complete that like they've fully been seen for their where they're at.
Yes. Yes. And that makes so much sense that that is so powerful and healing. Because when we feel seen and heard and loved, then we can relax and we feel accepted and we can kind of come to an agreement or come to clarity. But without, if both people are triggered and both people are not feeling seen, heard, or loved, then it's just going to escalate and create more conflict and disconnection. So that makes some sense.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, in terms of commitment, what's your relationship? What are your thoughts about commitment, and what's your relationship with commitment?
Interesting. I don't use that word a lot, but like one of the core values that Christine and I both had when we started dating, we like looked at our values together and we realized we had shared a lot of the same core values, is devotion. And you can look at devotion through the lens of commitment, but it feels deeper to me. You know, feels like, you know, there's some level of like dharmic energetic knowing of a deep purpose to being committed to something.
Mm.
To me, commitment is kind of weak without a deeper why behind it, you know? And it's like, mm-hmm. either that devotion is coming from a spiritual place where there's just a knowing of like, this is like for me, there was this like knowing, like within a week of dating Christina, like I feel like I had an inner knowing, like this is my wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there were actually so many like red flags in like where she just got out of a relationship, you know, with, and she had a 6 month old son with, her partner, and I was friends with that person. Like there were so many things that normally like I would have like not gone here.
Yeah.
But there was just such a deep knowing, like very quickly, that it's like, this is my queen. So like,
you just listen to that, even though the externals might have been. Yeah.
Yeah. It grounded us in like this. There was just this deep, deep devotion from the very beginning that like really pulled us through all our challenges, you know?
Wow.
So to me, like, yeah, commitment is, I'm committed to something when it either A, feels like it's, there's a deep spiritual calling to it, or B, it's like so aligned with like my purpose, my values, my, you know, my why of like why I existed. Like I naturally show up committed to something. And then if I'm not committed to something, I really have to look at it as like, why am I not committed to this? Is there lacking alignment? It's like, you know, what's.
Yeah. And when you describe that knowing, because we talk a lot about that in my work, which is helping people really follow that knowing inside of their bodies. I'm curious, like when you think back, where did you feel that knowing in your body? But what had you like, yeah, what was that felt sense of knowing for you? What did it feel like?
Yeah, something that like originates like in my gut, but it really is like a full body knowing. And I'll share something about my journey to getting to that point, because actually like, a year before I dated Christina, we never actually dated. We had like this magical cosmic first kiss, which we were like at a like Valentine's Day party where spin the bottle. It was like a friendly kiss. It wasn't like a romantic thing. And it just, it was so like, it was like fireworks went off that it was like, okay. And then we like hung out one time, and it was like, by the end of that week, I was like, this is my wife. And it was kind of crazy. You know, it wasn't like, we never even dated. It was like, we went from like friends, we kissed, and a week later, it's like, this is my wife. And now we got to navigate all this crazy stuff that's in our state. But okay, I kind of digress. So a year before that, I actually took on this challenge to live my life 100% devoted to my intuition.
Wow.
And to like cultivate a deeper connection to like this knowing, or this like this, you know, what I would call like spirit, you know, really it's like there's, I feel like intuition comes from a spiritual place. It comes from like an interconnected place of everybody, and it taps into like a deeper knowing that exists in the universe. And what happened was I actually committed that I will listen to my intuition 100% of the time, no matter what. And through that journey, there were some really tough things I had to do where I'm like, I don't want to leave the situation I'm in right now, but my intuition is telling me to get out, and I left, you know, or like, I really want to be doing this. Like this logically makes so much more sense to me, but my intuition is telling me to go do this.
Wow.
And I went and did it. And I could spend a whole hour talking about that journey, and I have contributed chapters to people's books on intuition. And I've actually spoken a bit about this in the past, but I'll say that the key things that came out of that for me, the key things I realized was like that intuition was like a little boy, like on my shoulder, like trying to guide me. And it was like whispering. And only when I started listening to it all the time did it build the confidence to like be like super vocal. Right. So it's like what I found is like the more I listened.
Yes.
The louder it got.
100%.
And then. Secondly, what I discovered in doing some of these things, like that I didn't want to do, that these things would lead me down these like chain of events where like I listened to my intuition here, here, and here. Mm-hmm. And if I hadn't said yes to all three of these things, it wouldn't have got me to this other place.
Right.
And what I realized, it's like, holy shit, when we're like kind of casually listening to our intuition and we're picking and choosing when we want to listen to it,
right,
we're actually missing the goal, because you're not doing the things, the multiple things that are actually required to get to that juicy, amazing, like, holy shit, did this really just happen to me breakthrough? And if, and I put the pieces back together at those, like, at those points and be like, holy crap, if I didn't follow this thing, like, I mean, I was on Necker Island with Richard Branson on a vacation, mm-hmm, and my intuition told me to go back home and I left. You know, it's like,
yeah,
like crazy shit where it's like, this is, you know, I've been a few times, but it was like still like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Yeah. Like, even if you've been a few times, and like, and I was like, could have stayed longer, but I left because my intuition told me to go.
Wow.
And like making decisions like that were like so hard for me.
Yeah.
I followed that commitment and it led me to the most magical places in my life.
Wow.
It actually trained me to follow my intuition to the point that when like I met my wife, like if I didn't have that deep knowing, like I don't think I would have made it past those first couple years. Like I don't, you know, it's like, it almost makes me a little choked up because, you know, like without that, like I might not have what I have now, which is, it's just like the most amazing relationship I could ever imagine being in, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was a big part of my journey in,
wow,
like being at that point where like, where that knowing was so deep and there was such a commitment to it, you know? Yeah. It brought me through the hard times, right? It brought me through the things that I needed to get through to get to the other side.
Yeah. I love that piece around how that deep devotion and commitment to following your intuition and the times that you might not have had you not been in that commitment, because you would have followed your mind probably instead, led you to these places that you just wouldn't have gotten to otherwise. It's just, it's so cool. And I think that also, I just also want to affirm that piece around how, because I've studied intuition ever since grad school and really for the last 15 years, have been listening to intuition more and more and noticing, because I almost died not listening to my intuition, actually. That's a whole story. That's going to go in my book for sure. But like our intuition is so strong. It's so, so strong, so powerful. And exactly, it can save us, but it can also bring us to these amazing experiences. And to your beloved wife and family, right? How many children do you have?
Three kids.
Yeah. So yeah, I just want to bring them into the conversation also. So yeah, what a powerful story. And like, yeah, following that knowing and working through the things you guys needed, the fact that you guys were both, there's also this piece around willingness, like both of you really willing to do the work to work through what you needed to work through to get to a more calm and grounded place, calm and harmonious place, because the love was there, the attraction was there, the chemistry, the commitment. And so just working through all of that, it's amazing when both people are willing and both people are open. These tools can just work such magic.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I would say even the chemistry wasn't like off the charts for us.
Yeah.
We developed the time. We developed
beautiful,
that.
Beautiful. Can you say a little more about that? Because that's really important for people to hear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the devotion and our commitment to growth was so strong from the beginning. And it was only after like clearing some of the shit that was in between us. And like getting to this place of like our relationship, there's, you know, like it took me multiple years before my wife fully trusted me because of her own stuff. And I had to be able to sit with that and be okay with that. Even though, like, I look at myself through the lens of, like, I'm one of the most trustworthy people I know. Like, I haven't cheated on former partners. Like, I am, like, integrity is, like, loyal. My deepest values. I'm very loyal. And so that was very hard to, like, not feel this sense of trust, but it was her own stuff, right? So just having the, like, devotion, again, through this, like, deep knowingness and being willing to work through that stuff, even when she was attacking me for something that, like, had nothing to do with me, for me to just be able to sit there and, like, take an attack and just respond with, like, that's not your truth and I love you and I see that this is, like, your pain. Like, it actually took me not getting triggered by it for her to see that reflection and be like, holy shit, this is all my stuff and I need to work through it. Now, I would have, and I did. There were times where I got triggered by it. And every time I would get triggered by these kind of like responses, it didn't go anywhere, right? Like it then became about me and then I was pissed at her and there was like triggers and I made it about me. And it was only in me being so clear that this wasn't my stuff that I could be just completely loving to her in the face of her like yelling at me or attacking me, that she was able to see that like, oh shit, this is like my own stuff here.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so beautiful. I just want to, go ahead. Finish.
Yeah. I don't even know where else I was going to go with it. So.
Okay. Perfect. Because I want to really highlight what you just shared because this is such a powerful example of secure attachment. So you were embodying so much secure attachment. Your embodiment of just being there, present, loving, available, holding that frame, holding her in her, just being there with her in her stuff and sharing with her what you were seeing, but also sharing with her your love, allowed her nervous system to say, oh my, because she might have been like having a bit of a, you know, from my attachment perspective mind, you know, who knows, maybe her disorganized, maybe she had some disorganized attachment. And so she might have been pushing back from sometimes with love. When we're not used to healthy love, it's actually quite uncomfortable for the nervous system. Who knows what was going on? But either way, she might have been, you know, pushing back on it. And you holding that frame of like, this is your stuff. I'm here. I love you. I care about you. Allowed her nervous system to heal in that way. So brought her into deeper security, internal security inside of her body. And then that creates that secure relationship between the two of you. And so it's such a great example for either partner, whatever your gender, when you can hold that loving stance that's so mature, so emotionally mature and not easy to do. And exactly like the more that we're in that mindfulness and that groundedness and centeredness and not in our fight or flight or freeze trauma response or trigger response, the more we can do that in relationship, we can hold that grounded, secure stance with someone in the midst of them throwing this stuff that doesn't feel like it's ours or that doesn't feel like it's even the relationships. So, really powerful example of that.
Yeah.
Really holding that strong. And that's, not easy. Exactly. That's based on all the work that you've done. But also, I'm curious, like, what was your relationship with your mother like growing up? How did you feel about her as a child? Like, what were some of the qualities that she had?
My mom was pretty much my everything growing up. You know, she was really there for me when there were challenges in my family. And like, you know, my dad was drinking a lot and that led to a lot of like different challenges. And so my mom and I were very close. And we've always been very close and, you know, we've had ups and downs at different times, but I would say, There's always been a very like deep, close connection between us. And in some sense, I've always felt like yeah, I've always felt like even my mom lives on the property with us right now, and she's here and she hangs out with our kids regularly. And it's like, you know, it's like a lot of people can't live with their parents, but like I've lived, my mom's lived with me for most of my adult life, for like at least half of it, if not two thirds of it. So we have a really, really close and good relationship. You know, we have our stuff too, but it's like, there's not a, like Christina and I, like in our relationship, are so committed to working through our stuff together that there's that mutual desire to work through it. And I think with my mom, she's had enough trauma and challenges in her life where she kind of like doesn't want to open up that anymore. And so I just I let her stuff go as best as I can. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because there's not that mutual desire to like really work through it and grow through it with us. Yeah.
It sounds like you really felt like she was there for you. It sounds like you felt like I'm feeling like they're pretty secure attachment with your mom. In other words, she was consistent, she was reliable, she was loving, she was responsive, and continues to be, it sounds like.
For most of my childhood, and there was a point when I was a teenager that my mom kind of fell apart, and I actually like stepped in, and I was forced to kind of like take over some things and to show up in ways that I hadn't shown up before, and it kind of forced me to grow up fast. And after she had divorced my dad, and you know, so she went through her own degree of falling apart, which in a way prepared me to have the patience or space needed to like, you know, work through things with other people later in life.
But that was hard, obviously.
So yeah, but the foundation was there, where it's like she was my everything, and you know, she played a really important role in my early childhood and like having me feel like safe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. And then in terms of your relationship with your dad, what was that like growing up? How did you feel about him as a child?
It was hard. I won't go into details out of respect for him, because I know if he heard me sharing details about my childhood, he might not appreciate it. But it was hard. It was a hard relationship. I mean, he was an alcoholic and he drank a lot, and that led to like a lot of like uncomfortable situations for a child to deal with.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we, only after I actually did Landmark did I like fully forgive him for everything. And we actually had communication where like, despite the challenges we had had in my childhood, like we got to what I felt was like a really clear space at that time. But you know, that was like 20 something years later, after doing a lot of like personal work to like get to the point of like fully forgiving him and fully like moving through the challenges of that relationship.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I'm wondering, in terms of, let's see, this is something that I coach women on a lot and give a kind of coaching around, which is like, and so I love asking men this question, which is, what's your favorite way to receive feedback from a woman or from your partner? Like, what do you really, if you could have your wife do it anyway, how would she do it?
That's a really good question. And it's interesting, because I'm noticing my response to that is actually like, that there's something touchy there. Like there's something like I think there's like an undertone of challenge sometimes in the way she gives me feedback, and I just end up okay with it. And I actually haven't been able to articulate a better way in like how I want it. I just know that it doesn't feel great currently. And it hasn't been a really difficult thing. So I haven't like dealt with it. But as you're saying that, I'm like, yeah, that's something to like look at, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Beautiful. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's something to unpack for me. It's like, I have a lot of thoughts around it, but I'm like seeing a lot of different threads.
So in terms of what you desire at this moment, like it's not clear what you actually desire around it.
Yeah. I think there's a general theme that's coming through my, coming through me right now that I want feedback more on like a high level and not into the weeds of the details where, you know, sometimes I feel like when I share things with my wife and it's like, oh, this is a work conversation I'm having, or this is a challenge, or this and that, you know, she'll go into like details of the way I might be delivering something or doing something rather than just like providing me her like high level view of the situation. And I'd like to get feedback in a way that feels like she trusts me more in like how I'm managing the details.
Yeah.
That shares her wisdom and expertise without necessarily telling me what to do.
Yeah.
That's where there's a little bit of a rub sometimes, that she has a way of giving feedback sometimes that like comes across to me as like she might be telling me like what to do or suggesting things rather than just like being like, you know, like you're a sovereign individual, you're going to make the best call, but let me give you my input so you can take this input to like make the best call, you know?
I love that distinction. Beautiful. Yeah.
Or it's like some things are like, this is a mutual decision and we have like an equal part in it and I respect that and we go into it. But like something that is like clearly something I'm taking ownership of in those situations, I'd love that more trust conveyed through the feedback. Cause I know she deeply trusts me. And I can see how it's like her own stuff that still like, you know, bubbles up sometimes in the way she directs, which actually coming from like a lack of trust. But yeah.
Beautiful. And then
I'm glad you brought that up because I haven't actually like, it hasn't bothered me enough to like put the thought into it. And right here in like just like 60 seconds or like 2 minutes, I'm able to kind of see like taking the space to do that. Yeah. Like now I can have a conversation with her. This is great.
So good. And then I just want to clarify because I want to make sure. And then in terms of relationship feedback, because that was a little bit more around purpose and work, I'm wondering, is that the same or in terms of relationship, I can give examples of different relationship feedback stuff, like exactly whether it's about intimacy or whether it's about connection or whether it's about, you know, doing the dishes or like, yeah, like any, or like, oh, I want to travel more with you, or like any feedback. I'd love it if you plan more dates.
That stuff we're like golden on. Like it just don't get in each other. Yeah.
But how do you like to receive that feedback? It doesn't matter how she said or.
Yeah, just direct and straight up.
Direct. Yeah. Okay.
It's so interesting because when you brought that, I started looking through the lens of like when she gives me feedback on work, which is like where we kind of like rub sometimes. And it's like. Yeah. You know,
but yeah, it sounds like relationship feedback feels easy.
Yeah. You know, and like any couple, we have our things, you know, where it's like, no matter how much feedback we give, sometimes things don't change. And you just kind of like, I've learned, you just kind of like, you can still bring it up, but like, don't put any charge there. Just like, let it go. You know, it's like, she really likes to keep all the dirty dishes in the sink. And I actually like to put them in the counter next to the sink. So I have an empty sink when it's time to wash them. Like over 7 years, I must have brought that up. Like I can't even countless numbers of times, but like it still doesn't change. And it's like, okay, it's just one of the quirks that we deal with. And
exactly. It's not a deal breaker. Exactly.
It's so powerful to just let things go sometimes because. Yes. We have so many much more important things to like put our energy towards in this lifetime that, you know, if those kind of things are in the way of your relationship, I'm like, I really question like why there's a need to put energy into like things that aren't that important, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. And in terms of your prior relationships, I'm wondering before Christina, was there any patterns that you had, like being with unavailable people or being with people who didn't want what you wanted or people who, were any patterns that you saw or people that maybe, just were challenging for you in a certain way? Was there any patterns that you kind of kept bumping up against that maybe shifted before you met Christina?
Yeah, I was in a lot of relationships before Christina. You know, I dated a lot and I lived with multiple partners over the years and generally had very healthy relationships, right? Very healthy relationships. I did notice a pattern, like I had a little bit of a savior complex come up where it's like, I noticed I was attracted to people that I could like, you know, really help and like save in some way, you know? And I think that kind of came from that, you know, me needing to kind of be that person for my mom after she had been so much for me. And it just kind of like kept showing up as a pattern in my life. And, you know, the interesting thing is like when I started dating Christina, there was zero of that energy. Although I ended up holding so much space for her that, that we like caused an insane amount of transformation in her life where like you could actually look at what actually happened and been like, oh, that's his, him playing out again. But I, it was actually, there wasn't any of that. The desire, there wasn't any desire coming from like the energy of this pattern.
Yeah.
But I still was able to be like a huge contribution to her growth in the early days of a relationship. And it was really coming from a place of like just love and wanting us to have the best relationship, not from a place of being in that pattern. So
totally. You can see the distinction there. Exactly.
Yeah. Which was, it was hard for me to deal with sometimes because I was like, oh, is this this pattern? I was like, no, it's really not. Like I can see it clearly. But just to be in a point, it's like awareness is everything, you know, it's like before that, I didn't realize I was in that pattern until I like saw it. And then it was like, holy shit, this is why I was attracted to this relationship and this relationship and this relationship and this relationship. And while those relationships were very healthy, you know, it was still being driven by an underlying unconscious pattern that I wasn't aware of, you know?
Yeah.
So the more we get out of the unconscious realms and into the realms of like consciousness and intention.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of the reason I'm really like passionate about the evolution of human consciousness is like, what would the world look like if we were so aware of our patterns and our shit and the healing that, that we're not bringing that to the table and putting it on every single person we're meeting all the time. Like this world would look very different. It would look pretty beautiful utopian place, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Beautiful. Love that. So, so huge. Yeah, just exactly. Just take a moment, everyone, just let yourself feel that for a second. Just feeling that energy of what would it look like for people to really be able to see so clearly themselves and the other instead of all of that projection.
Yeah. And I want to be clear too, I'm not perfect. I still have my shit. Stuff comes up,
yes.
but I've done a lot of healing work and it's enabled me to like see things clearly, like where it's like, I don't feel like I'm in the matrix anymore. Like I feel like I'm looking at things from like a pretty clear space.
Yeah. Beautiful. I definitely, yeah, I don't, it's very clear that you're, able to, you know, see things and own things. You know, own challenges and vulnerabilities, which is, you know, part of secure attachment, which is we don't have to hide our pain or our shadow or our vulnerability. We can share it openly and feel like we're still going to be accepted and loved. So I really feel that from you. I want to bring up this piece around trust, which you brought up, which is for many people with insecure attachment, it's hard to trust their partner. And I'm wondering, how do you know, and this might be something you haven't thought of before, so I'm going to ask you to kind of look into this piece, which is, how do you know that you can trust your partner? Like, what has you know that? Where is that knowingness?
It's built over time for me, too, because honestly, I didn't know I can trust my partner early on, but it didn't matter. Again, there was like that deep knowingness.
Yeah.
I will say like at the deepest level, like I really trust in Christina's love and her care for other people around her. And if she were ever to do anything that would come across as untrustworthy, really just like I see like where that's her pain intersecting with like what her deepest values are. And her deepest value is to just be in contribution to the people around her and to be like coming from a place of love, you know? So I trust in that. I trust in like seeing that. And I love to see that in every human being. And I've tried to, and I can't always access that with everybody. Like, but I could definitely see it with her. And we've built that trust over time. You know, like she wasn't so sure that I was her husband as I, as sure as I was that she was my wife. Right. And her takes her a long time to integrate things and to build like that deep clarity. She's like, you know, it's like my wife is the ocean and I'm like an island in the middle of this ocean. Like I'm so clear about everything and I'm just what I am and I see it. And she, like, she literally has to like touch every piece of land in the world to like fully integrate all the possibilities over a long period of time to get to the point where it's like, this is integrated through this entire ocean.
And
I see that, but that's how she works. And I just let her go through her process, right? And, and it actually, like, we've been together for 7 years, and I think it was like, I don't remember it exactly, but there was some, there was a point between like 3 to 4 years, 3 to 5 years into our relationship where I was like, oh wow, like, not only does she really trust me now, she trusts herself, and she's fully like integrated with her decision to be my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had already been married for years before she got to the place of like, she actually fully integrated that decision. She had enough trust in me and how clear I was that she took the leap with me, right?
Yeah.
That was a very vulnerable experience for me. Like I started having children with a woman that I was so clear on this calling and that, you know, that this was my wife from like this deep spiritual knowing sense.
Yeah.
But she wasn't actually able to give me this like level of like knowingness on her end or clarity on her end.
Yeah.
I was still going through that journey. Like that was a very vulnerable space to be in with somebody. And like, wow, like if she doesn't arrive there and this doesn't work out, now I'm like in a, you know, it's like, I want to be with her the rest of my life. And, but I was like accepting of like that possibility, like, and just like surrendered to it of like a not knowingness because she hasn't arrived there yet. And I just, I think it was just because I trusted spirit and that calling more than anything else. And it was only because I've had that experience of like putting full trust in that and being shown that that full trust led me to like the magical, literally the most magical experiences of my life came out of that full surrender to my intuition. So it proved to me that like you can trust this and I can trust that. And it worked out. Like we're at a place now where it's like, I have full trust in our relationship. I feel her deep trust in me. I feel her deep, deep, like capacity to actually like do a lifetime together, you know?
Yeah.
I'm also fully surrendered to whatever happens. Like I know that like, you know, it's like you can commit to somebody for a lifetime.
Yeah.
And I'm also like fully aware that and so deep in that commitment, but also fully aware that anything can happen, right? It's like, it's like she could.
That's the paradox of life.
That's the paradox. And just like knowing that at my deepest truth is always going to be to do whatever is in service to her truest self.
Mm.
So my deepest truth, if her truest self actually is like, she met another man and this person is clearly, she has such a knowingness. This person is the person she is now supposed to spend the rest of her life with, even though we're in this committed relationship. I would push really hard to make sure that that's a very well integrated decision. And I have when things like this may have come up in our relationship. And I would have the patience of going through that and it would be very difficult for me. But like, if ultimately I saw that that was her truth,
right,
I'd happily let her go, you know, because that's like in service to like, her deepest truth. And And that's, you know, that's hard. That's hard to do, but it's what is true to me.
Yeah.
I don't look at relationships as like, you own this person or you can commit to something, but it's like, they're their own sovereign person and I'm in service. I am going to love her till the day we die.
Right.
And I'm in service to her truth and her happiness. So if that is, if that is actually different than my picture of what this is, then I'm going to have to hold space for whatever comes up. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think having a healthy balance there is actually really important because I think a lot of people in marriages and like lifetime commitments, a lot of those things fail because it's like they have this like commitment, but they're actually not doing the work because there's this like, oh, we're just kind of like living on this like life raft of a commitment that's
right,
stating that we're going to be together. But there's not this like energy to like continue to like, you know,
grow and nurture and cultivate that garden.
Yeah. To me, that's like a never ending thing that you can't get sleepy on that, you know, like still aspects of a relationship that we're like actively working on, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, no relationship is perfect and it's evolving, right? People change.
Yes.
But the thing that that gives me a lot of trust in our relationship too, is like our alignment and values and our commitment to growth. Like I don't feel that based on both of our deep commitment to growth, I don't feel like there's nothing, like there's anything that we couldn't grow through together.
Right.
And where I've seen partnerships fail is where it's like one person deeply committed to their own growth and their partner isn't. And they grow apart because one is growing and one is not.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's huge, huge, huge to have that equal commitment to growth and to growing together, growing individually and growing together. I think both. And
I was just going to say too, like, cause this might matter to some of your listeners that like, I was so resigned that I was going to meet my wife before I met Christina. Like I actually got to the point where I was almost 40 years old. And I was really committed to being a dad and having a family. Mm-hmm. I almost got to the point that I started talking to friends about having a child together in like a friendship.
Right.
Rather than I was almost like gave up on this idea. And it was actually like, I think in giving up that it like.
Right. It's crazy how many stories the surrender, like the true surrender that happened when you did that. Yeah.
It was almost like I was so attached to that. Like I remember turning 30 and being disappointed that I didn't have a family yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just, it's cause it's been like
a even true calling
from before I've had this connection to my intuition and before I went on my spiritual journey, I knew I wanted to be a dad.
Yeah.
My dad didn't show up for me in ways that I wanted him to. And I felt like I would be changing that. And it's almost like what my mom did to me, because my mom's parents were like, my grandparents were like not good grandparents.
good parents.
My mom ran away from home as a teenager because of how bad her situation was.
Wow.
And her devotion and commitment to me was that I'm going to break this cycle in my family.
Oof. Wow.
And I think I took that on with my dad, where my dad wasn't as present as I wanted him to be because of his addictions. And I was like, and I was committed, like, I'm going to have children and I'm going to break that cycle. My mom broke this cycle for me, gave me this healthy ground to stand on. And I'm going to break the cycle on this side of my lineage. And I'm going to like create a family that's like, you know, got the foundation to just like thrive where they're not working through. You know, the things that my mom had to work through, I had to work through. So I always knew I wanted that and I didn't have it. And I remember in my 30s being surrendered. And then I remember going through my like deep personal development, spiritual journey and be like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't have kids before because I was so fucked up, but I didn't even see it. Right. I was totally oblivious to like how much shit was in my way of actually doing that successfully.
Yeah.
And then getting to a clear place and from that place, like dating and exploring possibilities and just being like, wow, like maybe this person doesn't exist. But it was also in like, you know, it's like, I have friends who have all these checklists. Like I had this checklist And it's like, Christina was very different than my checklist. And she's like the most amazing, remarkable woman in ways I could not have even put on my checklist because I didn't even know it was a possible or existed, right? Like,
yeah.
But I had an openness to just like throw my checklist away because this calling was so deep. And it's like,
yeah,
that's another thing. It's just like, I think people sometimes have all these like preconceived
the ideas. Yeah.
These are my 10 deal breakers and someone has to have at least 15 of these 20 things or it's just not going to work. And it's like, I mean, at a certain point, it was like through really truly surrendering. And then through that surrendering, being willing to like throw all that shit out the window because it really.
Yeah.
It's like, what do I know?
Right.
You know? So.
That's I just love that you're bringing this piece of surrender in because it's such a powerful tool for manifestation that for a long time I didn't actually understand what surrender meant and what it actually felt like and looked like. And I've really dove deep into it. And it's exactly that, like that true, true surrender where you're like, wow, like, if this never happens, I'm going to be okay. And in fact, I'm going to move forward with having a child on my own. Like you were truly in that space of neutrality. And when that neutrality is exactly that lack of attachment, that neutrality, that connection with source and everything, it just allows for so much more to come in. And what I find is our egoic minds are so good at creating these kind of fixed attachments to this 3D reality, that it can actually block things from coming in. So, I love that story because it's so, again, like so paradoxical. Like as soon as you let it go, it comes in and people say like, oh, you should stop, you know, like you should just let this is, yeah, something that frustrates me, which is, people tell people who are looking for a relationship, like, just stop looking or whatever. And that's actually can be damaging, in my opinion, because it's like, well, but if you have this deep desire, like, you know, it's not so easy to just stop looking. And so I want to just kind of highlight that piece, which is surrender is not an easy step, but it is a step that can be really powerful in manifestation. And so it's a deep, deep spiritual kind of piece that I've gotten very acquainted with, and it can create a lot of freedom as well.
Yeah. It's definitely not easy, but you know, you don't create the best life in the world by doing the easy things.
That is very true.
You got to be willing to do the hard stuff to get to the place you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the Empower Love program, that is my signature program that helps people heal these attachment wounds and heal these patterns in love and relationship. That's the last module is surrender. And so I love that, that we're bringing it in today, which is, and there's also another podcast. And if anyone's interested in diving deeper into surrender, there's a podcast episode on this podcast with Cute Blackson, all about surrender, and he wrote a whole book about it.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's so great. Oh my gosh. So I'm wondering, this is something I ask all my couples, which is who come on the show, which is how do you guys keep the chemistry and spark alive? Or yeah, the passion, the physical, sexual, sensual intimacy alive in your romantic relationship, especially with 7 years. Like, how do you keep that going? Is there any practices you do or any coaches you work with or any date nights? Like what are your things?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that our sexual relationship and chemistry is at like the best it's ever been in our relationship. But it started off as a challenging area for us. So it's like normally like that's an area that like just is like fireworks in the beginning and that kind of holds people through their shit. For us, it was like we were dealing with challenges there also because my wife just had a baby and that was impacting our hormones. And then we got pregnant within the first year we were dating. It was like there was a lot of this like birthing and hormones and things that impact your sex life. And
totally.
And after we were like kind of done going through those cycles, like, you know, I mean, we've always been working on our sexual relationship and our chemistry. And it's gotten to like such a beautiful place, and we're still looking to take it to like new heights. And I would say that the secret for us there has just been to be really intentional about it. So we do, we carve containers. So we have like 2 date nights a week. And then we're also like very open to spontaneous, like, you know, just spontaneous desires or what have you. And, you know, my wife is like a very like sexual being. She has like deep, like pleasure energy just like circulating through her, like naturally. And, you know, I think that kind of makes it easy too, because she's just like, she's like
embodied.
A area. And she's very like connected to her pleasure. And, that's just beautiful. And yeah, we just make the time. And I think the hardest thing for us is like when you have 3 kids and we have this like this intentional community we're building, and we have so many like logistics in life, it's so easy, especially because we're such a good team, it's so easy to like talk logistics. So we have to like, we have to create these containers where it's like, okay, we're not going to discuss any logistics tonight. Like, we just have to, and then if we catch ourselves just being gentle and being like, hey, we're starting to go down a logistical path, like, let's pull ourselves out of it.
Totally. That's huge. That's so huge. I love that.
Yeah, and just, and also like, just being gentle and patient with it and not having like deep expectations. Like, there's some nights where we have a date night and it's like, Christina might be so like, just her nervous system needs to decompress because she's been like managing 3 kids and like, she's also homeschooling them. So she's like their teacher and their mother and her everything. And she just can't get into a sexual place, and just like being like, okay, that's cool. Like, yeah, we're just gonna like sit here and cuddle and massage and connect. And sometimes, again, it's like that whole surrender. It's like, as soon as you're like, okay, like, there's no agenda here, we're just kind of like be together. And then all of a sudden it gets like passionate, and,
yeah,
and we'll be all over each other. So, you know, it's just kind of like being with it.
The waves of intimacy and passion. Yeah.
Yeah. There's parts of a relationship that naturally have just excelled. That's one that we've actually like worked on. Like, we actually like had to work on, and we did see some coaches. Jennifer Russell, I don't know if you know her. She's with us. She's epic. Yeah. I love her so much.
Yeah.
And we did her and Brian's, empowered relationship course. Actually, I don't even know what that's called. It's been so long now.
But the workshop that we were, I was at that with you. That workshop.
Oh yeah. Shit.
I totally
didn't make that connection. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, that was an epic workshop. And,
yeah. Yeah.
So outside of that, we haven't done too much like support. We were in another like mastermind for couples, which was really cool. It's That's like awesome. A bunch of different couples. And
oh, yeah.
There was like,
I heard about that. Yeah.
Zoom call where we all connected. We did that during the pandemic for a while, and it was really sweet to just like drop in with other couples and like hear about their experiences and share your experiences and learn from each other. Kind of like, you know,
yeah,
like business masterminds. It's like, well,
totally.
Ship is its own entity. Like,
it really is.
Like,
yeah.
Sit with other couples and learn from them and share with them and support them and get their support. You know, it's like, it's the totally. Same thing. So yeah, I mean, we love doing the work, and we're in the work, and we're constantly trying to make life better. And
yeah,
as great as it is sometimes, it's like, how does it get better? And, you know, and then there's ups and downs. Like, everyone goes through bumps. Like, we just had a really rough year, and we went through a lot of bumps, not in our relationship, but just in our life, like
challenges,
friends passing away, some real big, deep business challenges, mm-hmm. challenges with the community we're building. And you kind of roll through those things, but it's like, I look at the long-term trajectory of life, and life keeps getting better when you keep working on yourself, you know?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Thank you so much. It has been such an honor, such a joy. Like, so many gems have come out of this interview. I can't wait to listen to it again. Just so much wisdom that you have, and deep presence and availability. It's just so, so beautiful to hear your just passion for your purpose and your passion for your family and your wife. And yeah, I just, such a blessing to talk to you today.
Thank you so much, Maya. So, and I'm just so grateful that you're doing this work in the world, that you're supporting people and really finding their secure attachment and getting in the relationship of their dreams and working through the things that need to be worked on to like make that really possible. You know, and it's really beautiful, and I'm glad you're out there supporting people on that journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. Alrighty. Well, thank you all so much for coming and listening to this episode, and I will see you on the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to Rewire Your Attachment Style. This is Maya Diamond to receive your 2 free gifts to help you on your journey to lasting love and to start rewiring your attachment style today. Go to empowerlove.us/love.